Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Well, as you've been hearing, tens of thousands of people have fled wildfires even on the Greek island of Rhodes and Corfu, with many frightened tourists scrambling to get home. And among those who were caught up in the wildfires was Danny Murphy and his family. Now, Danny is from Skerries in County Dublin, and his story was featured in today's Irish Daily Star, where he was talking to Paul Healy. Danny joins me now, though. Danny, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thanks for having me. Cheers.
You were in Rhodes, I believe, with your wife and two children, Sophie, who's 13, is that right? And Jack, who's 7. But where are you now?
So currently we're in the Hilton Hotel in Gatwick Airport.
Okay. It's a mammoth journey that got you from Rhodes to there. Let's go back to the start, Danny, because I know you originally flew from Belfast to Rhodes, isn't that right? But even then, signs weren't good. I gather that your flight was delayed by 2 days. You had an emergency landing. And when you eventually got to Rhodes, things seemed okay. But let's start at this point then. When did you realise that things weren't right in Rhodes?
It would have been on sort of Friday when we arrived there. Everything seemed, we were delighted. There was no warning signs. There was a clear blue sky. Everybody was enjoying the holidays. Everybody seemed in the good form. There was no indication that anything was wrong. Read a couple of reports on the news, but there was nothing to worry about looking around. It was on the Saturday. That's when the warning signs first started.
What did you see?
Smoke, just plumes of smoke coming up. So the resort we are staying, Pefkos, it's got mountains. It's surrounded by mountains, and you could see plumes of smoke coming up. And as the day went on, the smoke was getting heavier. And come evening, there was a bright red sky, and the smoke seemed to be getting much worse. And there was ash. That's when we started to notice there was ash in our clothes when we were walking down to have dinner.
How far away would that have been?
It's about 10, 15 minutes in a car.
Okay. So quite a distance away, but still you could feel the intensity of it. Then you had ash in your clothes there from that
distance?
That's
right, yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And when were you, when did you have to be evacuated from your hotel? And what was that like?
So we finished up dinner around maybe 10 o'clock, and we were walking back up toward our hotel, which is on a hill. And when we looked over, when you could see in the distance, at this stage, it was like a bonfire, like a large bonfire, and flames were just licking the air. And that's when we got the sense of, oh, this isn't good here at all. And people walking up the hill, everybody was stopping, everybody was making videos. At this stage, that's when we were thinking, no, this isn't quite right.
Were you frightened?
Yeah, for the children, my 7-year-old son burst into tears. My daughter got quite upset as well. For them, looking at it, even though it might have been at this stage probably 10 minutes away in a car, it was very, very visible. And enough for me to be worried to think at this stage, before we got the evacuation, to think, I don't think we're safe here.
Really, you felt, as a dad, you need to get your family out of here.
Yes.
And tell me this, Danny, the evacuation, how did that come about?
So when we got back up to the hotel, we spoke to a couple of other tourists, and someone just arrived, and everybody's looking down towards the flames, and I've made a video, and you could quite clearly see in the video this fire was starting to spread, and it was coming towards this village. So my wife and I were talking, and it was at that point a text came from the government, please evacuate immediately Pefkos, which was where we were staying. So that's when we got the text message. Then a siren, not quite sure, an alarm, some siren of some sort. It wasn't coming from the hotel. We were under the impression it was coming maybe from the village. It kind of added to a sense of panic. Mm-hmm. We were staying in two apartments booked. My wife and my daughter Sophie went to their apartment to get all their stuff together as quick as they could. We had that opportunity. Some people weren't so lucky. Jack was really upset at this stage. I just had to get everything I can, everything that was important, passports and essentials, together in a bag really quick. And there was nobody from, there was no rep available, there was no guidance from even the hotel. There was, I never got the guy's name. There was a guy who was a fireman, a guy from the UK, and he kind of took charge of the situation and brought everybody over to the, there was a couple of hundred people here at this point at the car park. And we were then told by somebody in the hotel there was buses on the way from TUI, and that we thought there was going to be a rep coming as well, somebody that could assure us what the next steps were. We thought we maybe put into alternative accommodation. That was certainly on my mind at this time. Mm-hmm. That's what these buses are here for, to take us off to that, then the next chapter, I suppose.
But you were is this nighttime that you were evacuated? To a crisis centre, is that right?
That's right, yeah. So this was around midnight. The buses finally arrived and we got to the crisis centre at 3 a.m.
God, that is not easy with a 7-year-old and a 13-year-old. I can just imagine. What was the crisis? Can you describe the crisis centre to me then? What was that like?
It was like walking into a disaster movie. It was like walking into a war zone. That's how I'd describe it. You had kids crying. It was, the electricity was going on and off. There was no running water. It just didn't feel safe, but there was no alternative. We found there was another Irish family we'd met, and we found our way into where they did our a theatre, kind of, and then we set up camp on the floor, towels just from our bags, and we slept on the floor until morning.
My goodness.
Tried to sleep, sorry. I rephrase that, tried to sleep. Maybe got an error in us. Jack managed a little bit more. But that was the first night.
And I know you flew from Belfast and you didn't have a great start to your holiday. You're now in Gatwick. And how do you get to Belfast?
So I spoke to a very unhelpful robotic guy from TUI just before. I took the phone call from yourselves. And they've organised flights to leave. We'll have to get up at 4 a.m. They're going to leave here at 6 to get back to Belfast. Yeah. 6 a.m.
Well, we have a statement actually from TUI in relation to all of this. They say our teams in Rhodes have been working tirelessly to support customers impacted by the wildfires in southeast parts of the island, and 3 dedicated flights brought our first customers safely back to the UK overnight. We have reps in all evacuation centres, they say. We're aiming to get more people home from the affected areas as soon as possible. They say they appreciate how distressing it is and how difficult it is, and they ask that they... people continue to follow the advice of the local authorities and keep in touch with their teams. And they say, finally, they're still operating empty outbound flights to bring those customers currently on holidays elsewhere in Rhodes home as planned, and working to get those in affected areas as soon as possible home. They say the safety and well-being of our customers and teams remains our top priority. But I'm glad I'm sure you're, Danny, you'll be glad to see the back of this holiday.
Absolutely, and I can safely say I will never, after this experience, and my advice would be to others. We have had 2 experiences with TUI which were positive, but this
I appreciate that. But that's how they outline their position, and they say they're trying to do their best. But I know, look, you have been through a very, very difficult time. There's no question. But first and foremost, Danny, can I say that I'm so glad that yourself and your family are home safe, or nearly home safe, and away from the wildfires, because that is a frightening, frightening experience. Danny Murphy from Skerries, thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme. And I'm so glad you and your family are safe, as I say. I'm joined by former firefighter and wildfire expert with the European Forest Institute, Lyndon Pronto, as well. Briefly, could you tell us, Lyndon, what the authorities are facing and fighting in terms of the wildfires there?
Yeah, well, it's definitely a challenging situation. We have a simultaneity of events going on. You know, it's not just in Rhodes. There's many other larger fires happening on other islands and in other parts of the mainland. So it's an orchestration event of figuring out where to, you know, put different resources. There's also a lot of other European countries which are sending help and sending resources and aircraft. So it's also a very big logistical challenge in terms of, you know, helping direct where to put these resources and figuring out which the priority is, because, you know, once there is a major, you know, blow up like we had on Rhodes, I mean, then that's run its course. Maybe it will flare up again. Maybe it'll happen again, but there's a whole other element of predicting where the next blow up might happen depending on the weather conditions.
And finally, what would your advice be to people who are still in Rhodes or Corfu near the wildfires?
Well, I think, you know, if you are in a dangerous position, obviously being close to the water or the beach or, you know, somewhere like that's obviously the place you want to be. You don't want to be caught out on a road. You don't want to be caught, you know, anywhere in thick vegetation. These areas are just too dangerous to be in. That also applies for firefighters. I mean, this is very heavy fuels in these areas. The vegetation is very thick and tall, and with the winds and fire behavior, it's just as dangerous for firefighters.
Look, I wish I had more time, but Lyndon Pronto, thank you very much indeed. Beforehand, Danny Murphy as well. You can text us 51551.